Welcome to another Fireside Chat. Today we're continuing the topic of sport and life through sport and that sort of thing. So last chat I was talking about how I was shy and the Rocky inspiration and that sort of thing. But with sport, like, what do you gain from sport? Why sport? As I touched on from the last video, I was shy. I was generally shy, and playing sport, it's like I took on a different character, a different role in a way. And it wasn't a conscious choice. It was something that just happened. And I just found, for me, and wanting to try and prove myself as a man and seek approval from my dad, it was a legal battlefield. So, like, I was never a dirty player, and I just stuck to the rules. So there's a difference with team sports as opposed to tennis and whatnot, because obviously tennis, you have to drive yourself, have to be disciplined, and you only have yourself to rely on. And there's a certain strength in that anyway. You have to be your own master in a way. And I've played tennis and single sports, things like that. And I feel, and I enjoyed that sort of thing as well. But you have to hold the line. You're a link in the chain, and you have to learn to be reliant on others. You can't come in and take over. You can't be a shark or hog the ball, or you can, but you're not going to succeed very well. So you learn to rely on your teammates. You learn to develop your strengths, because there's different strengths and weaknesses. You've got forwards, you've got backs, and every position has a specific role, a purpose, and a talent, so to speak. So you can't master all of them. Very rare for one guy to be able to master everything. If he exists, you have to be big, strong, fast, and like to be a forward, the dynamics between a forward and back is different. And whether it's even American football, whatever it is, there's big dynamics, big difference in the body, the physicality, the strength, the speed, the awareness, all sorts of things. So the importance of that is, and I feel with sport, it symbolizes life. It's a macrocosm, microcosm in a sense that if you try and do everything, you wear yourself out and you become a weak link in the chain. Well, the most successful people realize they're not experts in all areas. They put the right people in the right position. If you have a successful team, you may be a coach. So you're not controlling everything. You're assisting and encouraging and help putting the right combinations together to be successful. So, but as a player, relying on other people is a great thing. And you learn about bonding. Yeah, depending on what you play for. You play for the government, you learn about bondage. Anyway, so I never should leave that in there, but yeah. Anyway.
Classic.
But you bond together, your companionship, you learn about trust, and you learn about encouragement and support and all those key things that enable you to succeed in life, the core values. It's so important. From a young age, I was almost role-playing. I'd stand up for my friends, and at times I'd stand up for my friends more than I would myself. So you develop a sense of chivalry, loyalty, and you look after, it's like an extended family, and you look after your teammates. This is the goal. You look after teammates like you would your family. And I feel there's benefits too, where some families are busy working and doing sports and different things, and you don't always get the support that you would like within your family dynamic or at school or certain places. But in a sporting club, you have the same goal, and that's to succeed or to play well or to do better than you did last year. So despite everyone's differences, the goal is the same for everyone pretty much. And obviously some people take it serious and win at all costs, but I always found myself, and I was lucky this way, with good coaches, good guys, and well, almost always in representative football, it wasn't always like that. But in general, for the most part, it was just like-minded people that had a singular goal, and we all worked towards that goal. And I feel the support that you can find yourself with, involved in, or have around you can be sometimes greater than what your family can give you, in a sense that your family doesn't always have time, and they can be preoccupied. And not all families are like this, but I feel if you're a bit lost sometimes, joining a club, sporting team or something, you can find a connection that you sometimes may feel that you're lacking at home. So I feel it's something that's absolutely worthwhile, and it will bring out the best in you, because I just found when you only have yourself to rely on at times, you may not put pressure on yourself, you may not try as hard, but I found in sporting teams and sporting games, you'll go the extra mile, you'll push that harder, you don't want to let your teammate down. So it develops character, and character is what gets you through life. And back to the Rocky theme, it's not how hard you can hit, it's how hard you can get hit and keep getting back up. So that makes you strong. And I feel it's of so much value. So it can be a great way to diffuse all the anguish and frustration that life dishes out. The rules for life is basically the rules for in a game. You're meant to be fair. You're meant to just play hard. You stick within the rules, and then you earn your way, and you earn your freedom, happiness, that sort of thing. There's another thing that I feel has really helped me with sport, where off the field I'd avoid conflict where I could. I'd back away. On the football field, you had, and this, I wasn't aware of this, I wasn't thinking of this too much, but there's obviously a time period that you're playing. So if someone was dirty, I'd try and get them back. I'd try and tackle them hard or something like that. I'd defend my teammate. So the whole experience of life is shortened into an 80-minute or 40-minute or whatever the time frame, interval or period. There at times there'd be conflict. So you just try and stand up for what's right. I always did. That was just my character. You test the boundaries in the sense of how to deal with conflict. And sometimes you'd fight here and there if the lines were crossed. The interesting thing after an altercation on the field at times was I never felt ashamed or regret or guilt or anything like that. I feel a lot of people avoid conflict, and playing sport probably, I'd say, gave me the confidence to deal with conflict more so. And although after playing football, there were times where I avoided conflict, it gives you strength, and it's definitely character building. You learn about values, you really do. To make a connection between conflict on the field and in life, when you have conflict on the field, on the sporting field, I'm referring mostly to rugby league because that's what I played, you're not trying to convince someone that you're right. And I think this is the key thing. People avoid conflict because they feel like they can't express or they're not heard or it'll go nowhere. And there's a time to walk away. Sometimes there is a time to walk away, you know, so for your safety and that sort of thing. And I didn't fight much on the field, but whenever there was big conflict, you just stand up for what's right. You stand up for your mate or your mates, and you never try to convince someone that you're right. You just, on the footy field, you just stood up for the values or for your mate to protect them. And I feel that people don't really take this sentiment too much off the field or in life, where a lot of people avoid conflict. And I understand it's hard within relationships because you stay within that relationship. Well, often we do. Now, a lot of people may not think conflict's good. And an example of a conflict, I had one a few days ago. I was helping out a friend of mine in a bank, and I don't wear masks. And, you know, if you believe in it, wear it. If you don't, don't. But the sign's going both ways, and so you can make a choice. And so I choose not to. I don't wear one. And I was in the bank and I was helping out. This is while everyone's meant to wear masks. Mandatory, which means you must agree. Mandatory, I believe. My understanding is that if you go along with it and you agree, then you're bound by the mandatory agreements. If you don't enter into an agreement, then you're not bound by it. And that's my understanding, the research I've done. And that's out there. So I'm in this bank with a friend of mine, and we'll part way through the transaction. I was helping, it's a bit of a language barrier. So I was helping him to express to make the transactions that he was seeking to make. And I had a locked horns with there was a misunderstanding between the teller and myself regarding the account. And I'm aware of this because helped him set up the bank. This is all, I won't go into the detail of it, but in any case, she came back when we were nearly finished, and she just said, Oh, do you have a mask? Or where's your mask? And I said, I don't have one. And she said, oh, well, you need to wear a mask in the bank. I said, I have an exemption. And she said, oh, I need to see it. And I said, no, you don't. So she said, you know, it's illegal. You can't ask. She said, it's policy on entering this bank that you must wear a mask. I said, well, but it's not law. She said, well, I need to see an exemption. And I said, hang on. I was doing an email from my friend that was an important email. They had to forward on to some bodies that needed the email. And that's why I was helping him in the bank. And she was standing over me, and I said, oh, I said, you'll be asking for my vaccine passport next, won't you? And she was just standing over me, and I vented a bit. And then she was still standing over me. She said, you need to show me. I said, no, when I'm ready. And I was pretty much finished the email. And I said to her, I said, well, you're being rude. I said, you should have asked me at the start, not at the end when everything's done. Mm. I said, that's just rude. And then when I finished the email, I said, actually, I said, no, I'm not going to show you. I'm not going to show you anything. I said, I'm done. And I walked out and stood at the entrance of the bank. And she's giving me death stares and staring at me. And I'm just looking at her laughing because, like, what have I got to be intimidated about? Because I don't need to take her view. She doesn't have to take mine. We disagreed. And I felt it was rude. I've had this my third sort of encounter since the mandates has started sort of early this year. Not that there's been many in WA, Western Australia, but it's very, very rare. And after each and every one, I don't walk away feeling angry and guilty, and I feel empowered. It's nice to vent, and not that you're venting all your frustrations, but it's nice to express how you feel and your beliefs. And the reason I don't feel or didn't feel frustrated or angry is because I don't need to convince her. There was an idea. I wasn't telling her for her. I was expressing my values and beliefs and feelings for me. And I think this is why people avoid conflict, I believe, because they're too busy trying to convince the other person. They think it's a game where someone has to win. And it's extremely rare that anyone does, and one person might submit. Let's say the other person submitted or I submitted. No one's actually winning, because it's about understanding, it's about offering and expanding your understanding. And if no one understands, then no one's actually won. Someone might submit because they're smaller or they're scared or whatever else, but the whole thing is irrelevant. I feel you express what you believe and what you feel, let it go. Don't have to take it on board. It's just more of saying, you've crossed the line. This is where I stand. And that's it. And you can express a few things. You might tell them where to go here and there if they're being absolutely obnoxious. Mm-hmm. But I think the whole idea of expressing, I think this is what you learn in sport. So back to sport, you have to do it within the rules, or you get sent off the field, so to speak. So you're forced to obey certain conditions to play football.
Yeah.
So you learn the parameters and the rules. And not once do you ever try and convince the other person that was a forward pass or this or that. They're not going to take it on board. They're just everyone's got differing views. And I think playing sport, if we mirror, there's so many things we can mirror in our normal life to what we learn in sport. It's a generally safe environment. There are rules to follow. You have support. So it's a great way to learn and discover about yourself and discover your character. I said I was once shy, and I'm certainly not shy now. And I just feel that the mentality with any conflict is to express where you stand, how you feel,
mm-hmm.
so they know that there's a boundary there in front, and they're less likely to cross it. Doesn't mean they won't, but I never try and convince anyone of anything when I'm angry or if there's conflict. So I definitely feel the key is to express in a way that frees yourself, and it's best not to try and dump your whole life's frustration on the person that you're dealing with, because then you'll walk away angry because it's the weight of everything you're expressing is disproportionate to the situation. And this balances as you start working through your own frustrations in your day-to-day life. So if you're triggered easily, then you – sorry?
Sorry, I was just going to say, I think there's two – points to make with that as well. I think remain calm is a big one, because once it gets too heated, you're not going to achieve anything. And the second one is also is how you say it. You can say just about anything to anyone. It's how you say it, how you deliver it. If you're going to be belligerent while you're saying it, it's not going to be received well. So
But I think there's that's in a I agree. There's in a certain scenario, in most scenarios, by far. That's correct. I agree with that completely. But there's sometimes you need to roar And that's what I'm saying. Like, it's not a point where you say you should never raise your voice. And no, that's it's not always the case. Like, depending on the person.
Yeah.
Like, if it doesn't hurt to have a roar and access that rawness, and you'll feel when I roar, which is extremely rare, probably lucky to be once a year, maybe twice a year, or it depends on the circumstances, but it's so rare. And each time I do and take a stand, a strong stand, like, it's 99% of the time, I would agree with you because you're having a rational conversation and that's the best way. But every now and then you're going to meet someone that's just pushing boundaries, prodding you, and you know, sometimes you just need to go, no, well, that's enough.
Yeah.
And this is the circumstances I'm talking about. I'm not saying be angry and abuse everyone, maybe one person out of 100. And if you're around people that are angrily sort of challenging you, then you've got to look at your friends and where you're hanging out, because it's extremely rare for me. I was in a shop and a guy had to go at me for not having a mask when he came outside, and I said a couple of challenging things, and he said, "Oh, basically shut up or I'll hit you." And I called his bluff. I said, "Come on then." and I some people may say, "Oh, well, you shouldn't have done that." And at the time, it came out, and I didn't go in his face. He walked away, and I didn't feel he'd actually act on it anyway. But he was calling me a coward and all sorts of things. I said, "Well, come on then." And I'm not an advocate to say that you should do this, but the reason I confronted him is he was aggressive towards me, and I'd been hearing a lot about, you know, I know a few friends that don't wear masks, and a number of them had been abused. So I had this in the back of my mind, and I had some friends say, "Oh, you should have just walked away. Should have walked away." I said, no. I said, I had the energy to stand there, and I felt comfortable standing there myself. So if I was tired, or if it was a dangerous situation, and there's a number of people there and it was dangerous, I would have, no worries, I would have walked away. But I said, this guy, like, he was obnoxious. He was rude. My feeling at the time was that he's the sort of guy that would talk to anyone that's not wearing masks, not doing what he's doing. And my response was to my friend, I said, no. It doesn't hurt. Since I had the energy and the will to stand up for what I felt, what I believed. And after that whole confrontation, and there's nothing physical, after the confrontation, I felt empowered. I felt strong. I felt like, it's like a V8 car. Like, you rev the engine and you clear out a bit of the engine. It's like, it gets more oxygen. It's like, I feel good. And I'm not an advocate for going around being angry and causing issues. Like, it was just that I don't go dumping on anyone. I'd rather, if someone's pushing the boundaries, depending on the situation, I might go, no, you know, stop. And that's what I'm talking about. So there was no way he was going to take on my views, no way he was going to take on his view. He was disrespectful. I caught him out on it.
Yeah.
And what I said to my friends is that, well, next time he potentially goes and thinks about abusing someone for not wearing a mask, not doing conforming as he's conforming, he might think twice about it. So every now and then it doesn't hurt to express on behalf of those you're representing, in a sense. And I'm not saying by any means go around looking for trouble at all. Like, I don't do that. But based on the situation, hey?
If someone's in your face and they're not taking your answer, there is a time and place, definitely.
Yeah, and that's all I'm saying. So 99% of the time, you know, I much prefer to have a rational conversation, but you know, when people are abusive from the start, that at times that there's no way it's going to be rational. And, you know, you have to, at the end of the day, trust your intuition. And if I'd have felt something suspect, like, I trust my intuition a lot, and if something had felt you know, suspicious or whatever, I possibly would have walked away. But I thought, I'm not going to submit to this guy. That's absolutely out of order. It's crossed the line.
Boundary enforcing, isn't it? You're enforcing your boundaries, and you're not going to let them get beyond those just because they're mouthy or whatever.
100%. And, like, it's different. Like, I'm in Australia, and it may be different in other countries where there's gun laws, you know, and depending if the person's intoxicated or looks like he's high, or there's something going on, you're better off not taking a chance. So I'm in Australia, and obviously there's you know, the government's taking all our guns off us and all our freedom and everything else. Yep. So within the environment that I'm a part of, where we're living, is it's safer than, you know, in America or overseas. I may not have done that. So it's based on the circumstances for sure. Yeah, but there is a time and a place, I feel. And I have discovered a lot, of, as I've mentioned with my son as well, training, doing weight training. You discover a lot. I think it's great to do exercises or sports where you can tap into a sense of anger or frustration or a sense of power where you've got to get angry to finish a set or to finish the last 20 meters or 10 meters of a race or get a bit of extra energy to chase that ball or something like that. It's, if you don't practice tapping into that, then you're missing out on something. And people have asked runners, how do you get that power? How do you finish that last 100 meters or that last stretch, the last sprint? Often athletes have said, I get angry. It's harnessing. It's not being out of control and wrecking everyone, destroying everything, going wild. It's about harnessing that fire, because fire isn't necessarily angry. And the interesting thing, I have a few friends, might do a few things for them or help them out. Or if I can, I'll assist where I can. After that altercation in the bank, my friend said, how can you live like that? And that promoted a little bit of fire in me, in a sense, because like, wow, because of my character. And I said to him, I said, that fire, that which you questioned, I said, that's the fire that gives me the strength to do what I do for you and assist in certain areas and support you where no one else does. Well, not many, because I know him quite well. He's a good mate of mine. He's got a number of friends, but like in support in certain areas, he doesn't have a great deal. So I assist where I can. That's what mates do. That's what friends do. I briefly spoke about this in a previous chat, but this whole simulation of the COVID stuff, I went through something very similar to this about 10 years ago, where I had a business. I didn't know my accountant was doing me and taking money. I can't take it personal because he did that for all his clients. So. And it's taking things personal is what creates the suffering, intensifies the suffering. I was going through family court and had a few things happening, and you know, it's just happens a lot these days. And I was being challenged in a number of directions. I had other people around me that influenced me, as it turned out, for their gain, as I discovered.
Mm-hmm.
And I was making the safest choices based on advice given to me by some of my friends or so-called friends. And I was feeling lost. I didn't know which way to turn. So I was following their advice against my intuition. But I was so scared of losing that I wasn't in touch with my intuition that well. But I was making choices in court and in certain circumstances that didn't quite sit with me. And it's easy to get lost. Is it because of the choice I'm making, or is it because of the situation that I'm in? And it's easy to get confused which one it is. So I was making the safest choice for fear of losing. I had a successful business. This is before it went under. Had a seemingly on a professional level, things were, I'd made it to some degree. And I was making the safest choices to minimize losing more access to my children, losing the business, losing everything. And along this path, I was losing everything to the point where I'd lost pretty much everything. And so I was making the safest choice. And that's what people are doing today. They're making the safest choice for fear of losing everything. But everything's being stripped anyway.
Yeah.
So nothing's being pulled back. The only time in UK it is, the only place that's being pulled back is because there's that much information out there, they can't deny it anymore. So a lot of governments are pulling back because there's holes in their argument. And that's more revealed now because we saw holes from the start. So I got to the point where I questioned whether it was worth me even hanging around or not, take the exit. And there is no escape. And I've spoken about this. One way or another, you have to confront yourself. And I decided that after I lost everything, cars, lost everything, and went bankrupt, lost the business. And I realized that everything's fleeting. All is fleeting. The only thing that I can't lose, that can't be taken away from me. It's not about losing. The only thing that couldn't be taken away from me is my intuition, my gut, my integrity, honor within me. And I thought, no, that's it. I'm done. And I changed my situation. And some of my friends or ex-friends said, you know, that will look really bad in court. I'm like, I don't care, because I came to a decision that I'd rather have nothing and be happy, and not the one that the government says you will have nothing and be happy. Not that, yeah. not talking about that one at all. But I'd rather have virtually nothing and be happy than have everything seemingly and feel hollow. Mm-hmm. So I made a decision, and within court and everything I was going through, I did a complete 180. And I just explained my situation and said, this is why I made this decision back then. This is how I'm feeling now. And I thought, I'll risk it all now. I'm just going to tell the truth in court. And I don't trust a lot of bodies, court, family court, government bodies anyway. Like, I'm skeptical. And I think that hurts to be skeptical anyway, take nothing for granted. And it was just a massive lesson that I found a sense of myself. And when I was prepared to risk everything for my integrity, from being stripped of almost everything, that was the only thing that I really valued. And when I made the decision to follow my truth, my integrity, 3 months later, my whole perception of life changed. And I saw my heart for the first time. Everything changed. And I've never been the same since. So this whole facade that is going on now, this is why, and I said to my friend, I said, this is why I stand up. I said that I found a fire back then, because I said, you know, I was wondering whether it was worth even staying here. Like, I found a sense of myself, and I realized that no one can take it from me, no one. And that's when everything changed. So I said that sparked a fire in me that I didn't know I had.
Yep.
And standing up for what I feel now, and this, it's got nothing to do with imposing my view on anyone, because I don't do that. I'll give my view, but I don't force feed anyone at all. And I try and give appetizers. So it's got nothing to do with my way or the highway. This is what sits with me. So I said to my friend, that fire that I discovered, that's the reason, because he's had a hard time. He's had some tough things go against him. He's got a heart of gold. He mm-hmm. is very trusting. He's taken advantage of. Has a beautiful heart, has a great soul. So that's why I help him. That fire is because he said heaps of people a number of people have said, oh, you'll help out. If you need a hand, let me know, and I'll do this for you and do that for you. And no one's done anything. I'm the only one that's actually followed through with what I was saying. And as I said to my mate, I said, that fire that I feel that stands up for what's right will confront people that's being rude or overstepping the boundaries or not treating me as I treat them. So that fire is the fuel, and without that, I'd be doing nothing. I'd just be full of words like many, and you'd be on your own. Yeah. So that is my character. So don't knock it, basically. And he understood. Not everyone always understands the reason we do things, but it's by principle, and that strength that people have, right or wrong, if you have a misconceived idea, that can fuel you to go in the wrong direction. And people do that sometimes. They're misinformed, but they go and fight for something that they think is a just cause, and that, as it turns out, it's not always a just cause. So the things I stand up for is integrity, freedom, understanding, and just to value and respect my boundaries, because I still don't superimpose myself on others, my boundaries, as I respect theirs and their choice, as they should respect my choice. And this is where it is merged, obviously, with fear these days. That doesn't change the balance of things, fearing or not. We still have choices.
Yeah.
And your choice should not impact how I live, and I should not put conditions on you for how I want to live. And this is where the government blurs the whole line. I mentioned last time that I talked about the difference between intelligence or wisdom and emotions in sport. And I feel there's a time, as I mentioned, to tap into that fire and adrenaline and aggression at times, but it needs to be controlled. So there was my mentor back in the day mentioned about a state of origin game, New South Wales versus Queensland, back in, I believe, the late 80s. So around that era, around that time. And King Wally Lewis was a 5'8", a legend player, one of the greatest players, I believe. He had an aura about him, and that gave him room. When he's running with the ball, people would sort of hang back to watch what he was going to do, which gave him more room. Players with great auras about them or confidence playing the game have a reputation. People tend to observe what they're going to do, which gives them the time they need to excel. He wasn't didn't make the Australian 5/8 of the year. So from memory, it's been a while ago, a few knocks to the head, so I'll try and remember it as best I can. So Cliff Lyons was the Australian 5/8, and people were talking about place Wally Lewis, and he was a bit more of an emotional player. Like when he was on, he was on, and he'd dominate players as well. They're both great players. When he was top of his game, he was unbeatable. So people are talking about, I think he must have made the Australian team the year before, and then the State of Origin played against King Wally Lewis. So Cliff Lyons was the new king, so to speak. And in the first half in the game, this game, he dominated. Cliff Lyons just made a couple of breaks, got around Wally Lewis a couple of times, and I think they scored a couple of tries. And it's interesting, when someone's dominating, they expect, and this is someone that plays through emotions, plays within their gut, and they don't necessarily think, they don't have to, they're just act, they're just quick, they're good at what they do, they're brilliant. When you're dominating other players, or your opposition player, opposing player, you sort of think that they're going to submit. You sort of expect them to slowly be crushed, expect their confidence to start diminishing. And Wally Lewis didn't. He just hung in there, kept going. And to an emotional player, they can't work this out. It's like, and this is what it was, how it was told to me, and this is how it appears. So Cliffy Lyons might have something different to say if you heard this podcast or this fireside chat. But because Wally Lewis didn't submit, he just kept going, was biding his time. How it appeared to me is that the confidence of Wally Lewis could not be rattled by someone else that was dominating. Yeah. He stuck to his guns, and then he started slowly clawing back, and his confidence kept going, and then he kept at it. And from how it looked outside looking in, Cliff Lyons, because Wally Lewis for Queensland didn't submit, his game didn't diminish. It's like Cliff Lyons started questioning himself. Mm-hmm. And Cliff Lyons didn't even last the whole game. Mm-hmm. And he was replaced. And maybe he was injured, but it didn't appear so. So he started by far the most dominant, made some breaks, did some great things in the first half, didn't even last the full game. And then by the end of the game, Wally Lewis had dominated. Mm-hmm. So we want to be the wise, intelligent player. We must weather the storm, no matter how things look. And it's reflective on the football field, the things you discover as an athlete you carry into your normal life and you'll succeed. And I think it's a great thing to point out that we must weather the storm and stand up for what is right. And in the end, you'll have your day in the sun. I truly believe that. But even if, you know, you may not get exactly where you want to, I feel the peace that comes with standing your ground and standing up for what's right, which is integrity, freedom, and choice within. There's a certain peace with that that everyone needs to experience. Conforming and hoping doesn't get you freedom. Mm-hmm. We must take a stand. And I feel playing sport through those means can help you to discover a strength that you may not know you have otherwise. Mm-hmm. So I definitely feel in my experience, there's a great many things to learn from playing sport. It's a great way to connect. And if you're feeling negative or have negative thoughts or depression or certain things, speak to your teammates, speak to your club, speak to your coach, speak to your family. But there are always ways through. There are always ways. And we must keep looking. And with social media, you can reach out to people to get help as well, so, and support. And for those young ones that, in my experience, that are helping other people that are suffering, you've got to make sure you, in my experience, take time, nurture yourself. Don't take on other people's burdens either. So you're not alone. And it's great to help others around us. But if we don't recharge our batteries, if we don't feed our soul on some level, a sense of connection, then be careful with how much you offer you, because you must charge yourself more than you charge others. Otherwise, the balance, the whole scale will be shifted into a downward spiral. So self-awareness is key, and challenging yourself, learning to discover your own inner fire, and to harness it in the right way is key, is not to burn everyone around you. I think there's a great many lessons in sport. I'm not sure if we'll do another one in sport. We'll see where it goes. Maybe we can talk about other things potentially. We'll talk more on certain aspects of sport and life, and maybe the next one or down the track, anyway, not too far away, as you've mentioned. So there's still a few things we can go into, but I hope you enjoyed this one. And if you have any questions or queries or anything to share, by all means, please do. And we look forward to the next one. Take care. Bye for now.